Christmas has its ups and downs, but we all look forward to the season. And one of the best parts about it is the presents, the gifts. Hopefully, right next to you in your little cup holder, there's a little gift for you. Eastlake, everybody gets a gift this year. It's a ornament that you can put on a tree or somewhere around your house. And it has the word Noel on it. And Noel is the word that tells us why we even have gifts at Christmas time. It's a French word that means Christmas, but it comes from an older Latin word that means birthday. Noel means Christmas is the celebration of a birthday. Now, to get an idea of it, I want to sort of imagine today that we've all been invited to a birthday party in the neighborhood for a boy named Jesus. So we don't know him super, super well, but our kids know him, and it's one of those parties where they invite the adults and the kids at the same time, and so we're over there kind of mingling around, and we don't know his parents, Joseph and Mary, very well, but we end up over in the corner of the kitchen with them, and, you know, we give them the famous icebreaker, how did you guys meet, you know, and go into a little bit of history, and then you ask them, when did you decide to have children? And Joseph says, well, I'm glad you asked. You see, we throw a birthday party for Jesus every year for the same reason everybody throws a birthday party. We love our child. But his birthday is actually way bigger than that. His birthday is a birthday for everyone. And it's the time that we remember that I'll always get another chance from God. It's our big idea this weekend. Grab your note sheet, and if you put it on there, the big idea, Jesus will always give us another chance. Noel means Christmas is the celebration of a birthday, and we celebrate it every year so we can remember that God will always give us another chance. I'm going to read you the Christmas story. It's in your notes. Here we go. This is how the birth of Jesus took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, who was a man who always did what was right, but did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She'll have a son, and you'll name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him. Now let's break it down. Why does Christmas mean we always get another chance? Let's break it down. Here's the first part of it. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. And none of this catches Mary by surprise. God has been super clear with his communication to her. He explains everything. This is what's going to happen. So it's not like she doesn't understand it, because God has explained everything. Her problem is explaining it to her parents and her friends and her family, how she's pregnant before she gets married. Mary has to explain this to Joseph's parents and his friends and family members. And she has to explain it to Joseph. And we know that it doesn't go well for her. Nobody's buying her explanation or her story. In fact, all of a sudden, Mary's sort of in this place where everybody's kind of looking at Mary and saying, Mary, why did you have to ruin everything? I mean, we had these big plans for a wedding, and there was going to be a marriage, and our families were going to come together, and why'd you have to go and ruin it? When I was in the second grade, I still remember it so vividly, that we had an art class, and we were making these paper mache projects. You know, you have the strips of newspaper and the, you know, the cornstarch goop, and, you know, and I had a little tray of that, and the teacher was up front with a bowl of that and the strips of newspaper, and he's making his project with some kids around him. And I had a question, so I walked up to ask the art teacher something about the project, and I accidentally bumped his little bowl of goop, and it sprayed all over him, and he snapped at me right in front of everybody. Look what you've done. I've been so careful, and now you've ruined everything. I hated our class after that. When is the last time someone made you feel that way? You did something and they just made you feel like, now you've ruined everything. We had it all planned out. Stuff is not going good for Mary. I wonder if it's why in football when they throw that last desperation pass, they call it the Hail Mary. Like there's not really any chance at all, so we'll just throw up a Hail Mary. But Noel means that Christmas is the celebration of a birthday. And that birthday means God will always give us another chance. So let's keep reading. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. And you have to feel for Joseph. We've all been there when you say to yourself, gosh, man, I did everything I could. I did everything right this time. Why is it turning out wrong? Isn't that the most frustrating? I mean, when I've been a screw-up all week and I get a screw-up's reward, I kind of, like, understand that. I can get my head around that. But when I've been good, like, I've done everything I was supposed to and stuff turns out bad, that is difficult for Joseph. So he makes a plan. And you know, a cover-up is way different than another chance. When I don't think I'm going to get another chance, sometimes the only hope I have is to put a spin on the story. And just keep telling the story with that spin and telling the story with that spin. And do you know if I spin the story enough and I tell it so many times, it's dangerous because I can actually forget that I want another chance. I buy into that spin. I can even forget that I need another chance. Now Joseph, of course, he's in this room full of people. We're all there at the birthday party. At this point, he probably would lean forward and say, hold up, because God had a better idea. Noel means Christmas is a celebration of a birthday. It means we always get another chance. Let's keep reading. While he was thinking about this, oh, this is cool. So we get to see the inside of Joseph's brain here. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. The angel comes and talks to Joseph in the context of his family history, which Joseph probably thought was a little strange because he comes from a family that has issues. And it, like, it's a sub-theme in the Christmas story is that there's family issues. Are you facing any of this Christmas with your family? You know, over the next 3 or 4 days, and there's just that person you're not anxious to see, or there's going to be awkward moments, or there's going to be something happen for sure. There is every single year because family's a part of Christmas, and sometimes families have issues. Joseph's did. His great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is David. He was the king of Israel. You may have heard of him. He killed the big giant. And he was handpicked by God to create a kingdom where all the other kingdoms would look at his kingdom and the way they had a relationship with God, and they would say, well, if that's what it looks like to have a relationship with God, then I want to have a relationship with God too. Was going to be a display nation where David and his kingdom, everybody would look at it and say, well, if that's how God treats you, if that's what it is to be with God, I want that too. And David completely blows it. He's married. He gets involved with other women. He's an absentee dad. Doesn't parent his kids. He's not there for them. He sets off a chain reaction through his family lineage that completely ruins God's plan. So Joseph is probably scratching his head right now and saying, God, why are you bringing up my family? You seen them? Have you ever been embarrassed because of a family member? Or ever felt like you were the embarrassment? Joseph's probably wondering, God, why would you give my family another chance? We blew it so bad the first time. And of course, the answer to that is really simple. God doesn't give up on families. Who are you estranged from this season? Some kind of a breakdown or a problem or something's happened and you wish it could be different, get another chance. There's this amazing detail in the Christmas story that probably really brought it home to Joseph. God's committed to our families, and don't lose hope in your families. I'm going to read it to you. It's not in your notes, but I'm just going to read it to you. It'll come up on the screen. This is in the Christmas story. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, can you imagine Joseph when Jesus was born, and all dads do it? They take the baby in their arms. He's looking down at Jesus, and then he's looking around, and he's going, and I'm standing in Bethlehem? This is where my family all started. Don't lose hope for your family. A relationship with your mom or your dad or your brother, your sister, somebody in your family. Don't lose hope, because God has not lost hope for your family. Maybe he'll bring you back to your own Bethlehem. And that's where you'll realize, God's given my family another chance. Now let's keep reading. She'll have a son and you'll name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And I don't know if you like Christmas music. We certainly get a lot of it, gobs and gobs and gobs of Christmas music. So I don't know if you like it, but we get plenty of it. And of course, it starts in about, middle of August. But you'll all recognize this Christmas song. So I want you to hear this Christmas song. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Kind of a creepy Santa Claus. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. The concept behind Santa Claus is I have to be good to get something good. The concept behind Jesus is he's good and he gives me something good. See, we take our pictures with Santa Claus. We get forgiven of our sins from Jesus. What's bothering you this holiday? It's hard to believe you'll get another chance when you're burdened by guilt and weighed down by guilt. You know, the big message is that sins don't have to keep you from God. They should actually turn you to God. We all have sins and hang-ups and mistakes and things we've done, stuff that's been done to us. Sometimes they're way in the past, and sometimes they just happened yesterday. But at Christmas time, Noel means it's a celebration of a birthday. And it's a birthday of someone that can forgive us of our sins. It's a Savior's birthday. Christmas is a birthday that can save us and forgive us, because there is a Savior. What do you need to be forgiven of this year? Gosh, don't carry it any longer. You don't have to. It's Christmas. You have a Savior. You can be forgiven. Now, here's how the story goes on, the Christmas story. Now, all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so at this point, we see that God works a miracle into the story. And it's for every single one of us that has ever wanted another chance, and quickly we've thought at the same time, but that's impossible. I can't get another chance. God worked a miracle into the story. God didn't need to work a miracle into the story for his benefit. He needed to work a miracle into the story for mine. Because I face things that I want another chance in, and I think it's going to be impossible. It happens in families when you finally decide you want to reconcile with somebody, but, oh, they died last year. Now what do I do? Someone moved away. You just feel like it's too late. See, there's a miracle in the story of Christmas. Christmas is a celebration of a birth. And the birth came because of a miracle. It's awesome because sometimes when, you know, the super, super, super long shot, one of the best I ever heard is a father and son combination lived in Cleveland, Ohio. The dad is Jewish and God walker, and the son was, but then he sort of veers off track and decides he doesn't want anything to do with God at all. And lots of tension in the family between him and his dad. Lots of tension. And they finally have this major, major blowout, and he says a bunch of stuff to his dad, you know, that he would never say. And the dad says, and finally the dad says, "You know what? You're not even my son anymore. Leave my house and never come back." So like a good, you know, older teenage kid, he goes, "Fine, I don't need your house." Out he goes. True story, found a way back over to Europe, meets a girl, months turns into years, never went home to Cleveland, which kind of was a good thing in a way, but that's another story. But as he's in Europe, missing his dad, wondering, is there any way back, he meets this kid from Cleveland at a little side cafe. And he wants to ask him about his dad, and he finally says, "Hey, did you see my dad? Well, how's my dad doing?" And the kid says to him, "Oh, Joey, I thought you knew. Your dad died last year. He had a heart attack." And now this kid's just thinking, now it's impossible. So he decides to go to Jerusalem. And they have this big wall in Jerusalem where you can go pray. And he's just trying to figure out any possible way he can deal with this thing. And his dad was Jewish, so he goes back to Jerusalem, and they have this big, huge wall where you can pray. And I wonder, this is a true story, by the way, and I want to read it to you. He goes to this wall, and he hears his prayer. He says, "Oh, Dad, how I wish I could ask your forgiveness. I wish I could tell you how much I love you. I wish I could tell you how much I regret the pain that I caused you. I am so sorry." And then he got a little piece of paper that they give you, and he's going to write a prayer on it, and he's going to find a crack in the wall to put it. And this is what he said: "Dear Father, I beg you to forgive me of the pain I caused you. I love you so very much, and I will never forget you. And please know that nothing you taught me about God was in vain." Now here's the part. When he had finished writing the note, Joey searched for a place to put it in a crevice. But there was no place to put it. All the cracks were filled. There was no place he could find at all. He looked for hours and hours. Then finally, he found one little place he thought he could put the note. But as he did, he accidentally dislodged another note that had been resting there, and it fell to the ground. "Oh no, I pushed out someone else's note," he thought. He was panic-stricken, wondering what to do. As he stooped down to receive it, holding the rolled-up paper in his palm, he began searching for another space in which to insert it. Dad named Adam, son named Joey. But suddenly, he had this tremendous curiosity to read the words on the unknown note. Joey did something he thought he would never do. He rolled open the note to examine its context, and this is what he read. "My dear son Joey, if you should ever happen to come to Israel and somehow miraculously find this note, this is what I want you to know. I will always love you, even when you hurt me, and I will never stop loving you. You are and will always be my beloved son. And Joey, please know, I forgive you of everything. Your dad." Now that's a miracle. And we need them. We all need them. We face things that are impossible. But Christmas happened with a miracle. It's about a birth. It was a birth that happened because of a miracle. Where do you need a miracle in your life? Please don't be embarrassed to ask God at Christmas. Christmas is here because of a miracle. Noel means Christmas is the celebration of a birthday, and that birth occurred because of a miracle. So we would always know that God can give us another chance. Now here's the last part. So when Joseph married Mary as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. And you wonder about Mary. Now, here's this girl. She's kind of an older teenager, probably. And you don't know her personality, but you wonder if she's just so happy and relieved of the whole thing. She's just like, all right, finally. Or maybe she's made Joseph squirm a little bit. What if she's the type of girl that kind of puts her hand on her hip and says, oh, yeah, now you want me. I told you this was God's plan the whole time. You know, they got that snap, snap, head girl goes like this. Oh, now you understand. You didn't want to believe when I told you what God was doing, did you? No. Well, we'll never know. But here's something that we do know. Joseph did not miss his chance. When God gives me another chance, he also helps me capture it. It's one thing to be hurting and hurting and hurting and hurting and really want another chance, but it even hurts more when I get my chance and I don't take it. I've had those. I've waited and waited and waited, and when my chance came, I didn't capture it. I want to show you this clip of a family and two brothers. And it's a great clip that shows missing a chance, but the next time, capturing it. And that's the bottom line. Jesus will help me capture my opportunity. He helps us see it. He brings it along, but he doesn't stop there. He'll help you capture it. It's one thing to desire it. It's another thing to capture it. Life is about moving forward. Listen to what the Bible says. God has made us what we are in Jesus Christ. God has made us new people so that we would spend our lives doing the good things he's already planned for us to do. See, Christmas is the celebration of a birthday, Noel. It's a birthday that helps us remember God will always give us another chance and help us capture that opportunity. Or do you need that this season? He's right there for you.